Hello guys, you're listening to Rames Students Radio and my name is Fadi Boye, and in celebration of the International Women's Day, this is the Women's History Month, and in partnership or in collaboration with the Women's Officer for the University of Bradford, UBU, we're just hosting a podcast, basically just to talk about, just to discuss the theme for the International Women's Day, Inspiring Inclusion, and just to discuss as students how we can, the struggles women have faced and how we can move on from all of that and inspire inclusion, try to get women more involved in everything, just basically discussing about that. As I said, I'm Fadi Boye and I have some beautiful women and a lovely gentleman also here with me on the podcast, and so let's they will introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Sajida.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Voiceless.
Hi, I'm Palak.
Hi, I'm Faith.
Okay, and together we are the
Ram and Lily.
All right. So straight into it. So, Palak.
So before we begin, I'm gonna talk about a few statistics about women and how we can, what we should do to improve these statistics. So according to some stats, if we continue at the same rates, by 2030 there will be like 300 million women, over 300 million women who wouldn't have any jobs or who will be unemployed if we continue at this same rate.
Right, yeah.
So we can see that there's really less inclusivity.
Yeah, and there's really a serious need to really get women more involved.
Yeah, so we need to invest more in women, we need to invest more in diversity, we need to invest more in the future.
Okay, do you have another stat for us?
Another stat is basically that around $320 billion,
wow,
that's a lot of money,
that's a lot of
will,
money.
Will go into vain if we don't employ more people, if the jobs we need to improve, we need to close the gap.
Okay. And women are quite very capable,
hardworking,
if you say so,
resilient.
Oh,
what? Women are very underestimated.
Yeah, no, no, women are very
underestimated.
I think I can speak for my mother.
We're very underestimated.
And,
yeah, but if those jobs do exist, like as we would like to think, so why do we think that women don't have or are not in these spaces where they can actually take advantage of those jobs? Can we sort of like just peel the layers of those things that are sort of like holding women from having like a seat at those tables?
I think it's mindset, because the people that like would employ you, statistically, the people that would employ you are men. So like obviously not... obviously people think a man owns, a man is obviously the owner of a company, so if the man is the owner of the company,
you think he wants to employ men, not women.
It depends, that's what I said, it depends on mindset, it's all mindset.
It all boils down to what our mindset is as society.
I think to a large extent I sort of agree with you. I think men have more purchasing power right now, and they're like in more spaces where they have like more financial control.
Well, one would argue that that's because men have built themselves to be capable of that.
No, I don't. So I don't necessarily agree.
I saw this thing online where this woman opened her own law firm, and like she opened, like they wear pink in the law firm, like it's a women law firm, obviously only women, and they wear like pink, and then in the comments, obviously angry men were like, oh, why would you do that? Because law is a profession for obviously men and women. But people believe that like
pink is a female.
No. What?
Pink is my favorite color. Just
No, no, like that's your, okay.
People believe that like men, it's a man job, like, because
law,
not that, no, I mean as in men's mindsets.
Yes.
Is that like, obviously there are women lawyers, but they don't take them seriously. I don't know if you've ever watched like law movies or like law dramas.
I think
like,
it's
portrayed in those dramas
as
well, like
really
it's
I've watched Suits, and I don't think
women,
Yeah, but even if you watch Suits, the way Jessica is being regarded and the way Harvey is being regarded, Harvey can say something and everyone just understands it. But Jessica has to like stamp her foot on the ground and say, this thing has to work, right?
Yeah.
So I think that men already like in places of financial control already, and in that way they sort of give more opportunities to men too. So women don't get as much opportunities as they should, right?
Yeah.
Because there are also some things that actually tie women down, because hiring a woman now, you would think, what if she gets pregnant, she has a baby, she's going to be off work for a while. So those sort of things actually just inhibit women from taking advantage of those opportunities in itself. So I think that we should sort of like find a way where we address those things and we ensure that women are not just at those tables, but they actually are heard when they speak. Because sometimes, because of the whole representation thing, we just have women there. Let's have women there. But like when they speak, no one actually listens. It's just like, oh, they've spoken, but like, let's just move on.
Because people think that women actually belong in the kitchen and at home, not at work.
And the things are, some of these firms are also thinking about the long-term costs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if a woman gets pregnant, they'll have to pay for the pregnancy leave.
Yeah.
So it's not even about, it's about costs too. But we need to be more considerate. We need to understand that we need to make this world a place where we take care of everyone's needs and
get the best.
Not everything should be profit oriented always. Yeah,
even let's leave work aside, like politics as well. Most people think that women shouldn't go for political positions, but I feel like if a woman is in a political position, she would lead differently than a man. That's my opinion because I feel like men just love to dominate, which is some men. I'm not going to say
all. I think that's a quality, masculine trait.
Men love to dominate. But I feel like if a woman is in like a political position, she obviously, as much as she would love to dominate, as much as she would dominate because she's in a high position, she also looks for.
Funny thing. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, I've read from stories. I've not particularly, not personally experienced this, but I've heard stories, especially on Twitter, where people, even women, would prefer to have a male boss than to have a female boss, because when they have a female boss, the female boss is, too extra. I've read a lot of stories. I won't necessarily say it's a universal thing, and that should mean that women should not be in leadership positions.
Yeah,
women have been in leadership positions and done fantastically well. Ngozi,
Okonjo,
there are a lot of women who have done great. So I know women are capable, very very capable.
I think that both male and female have like various different traits. Like women are more emotional. Men are like more not so in tune with their emotions, which isn't great, to be honest, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like when you place women and men in various positions of leadership, their leadership styles actually differs too. Like men don't exactly think things through. Women do. Women are able to multitask a lot. And I speak from my own perspective. I have sisters too.
Yeah.
I can't do multiple things at the same time. But women are able to do multiple things at the same time and also do it well. So I think we have things to actually gain when we have women in position, because when they put in policies, they think about how those policies affect not just men, women and children, but like with men, we're just thinking most times profit minded, how we're just going to get things done. So I think that by having women also at the table, there are things that we will gain. And if we're not going to gain those things if those women are not at those places. Yeah.
So firms out there need to think about how we can combine the male traits and like female traits.
Have the best of both worlds.
Have the best of both worlds. That's the
And that's why we should champion inclusion. Because with more men and more women at the table, right, we can get different perspectives, different views.
Yeah.
And that I think that also helps corporations, and even in schools and everywhere too. The more you have diversity and inclusion, you get like different perspectives, and it just helps everyone.
The more
like,
perspectives, the better.
But we have to admit the fact that it's so much better than it used to be years back. Yeah. Even like 3 years back, before COVID.
Everything changed. Everything.
What?
Definitely. Time changed.
Yeah, time
heals everything.
And feminists changed.
I'm not going to go about this. The thing is that feminism is just supporting women, that's it, but there's some people that do extreme stuff. At its core, that's what feminism is meant to be, but then
They're not feminists, they're just extremists. I think that it's, I think we shouldn't discredit a movement because of a section of that movement.
Like you're a Christian, right? But you're like still Christian fanatics. You're not gonna say you're not a Christian because you're Christian fanatics. The thing with the feminism movement is that
The feminist fanatics are like usually the ones championing things. They are the ones
making there's a difference between being a feminist and hating men. There's a difference.
Yes,
for some, the fanatics hate men.
Why do you care? You should only care about feminists. Like if someone say they're a feminist,
you
just support listen to
women.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. No,
you support women. I would support women, but if someone
says they're a feminist, I'll give it two thoughts. Until I hear what the person actually
okay, so the thing is,
so but if someone says they were a Christian, right?
Yeah.
Like, would you give it two thoughts?
No. Yeah.
You would.
That you say you're a Christian does not necessarily mean that, that you subscribe to the Christian faith. A lot of people call themselves Christians.
No, listen, hear me out. Feminism, there's a difference between toxic femininity and feminism.
Mm-hmm.
So, period. Toxic femininity is basically being like, women are equal to men or women are greater than men and we hate all men are dogs. Mm-hmm. And
simple, you know, simple as that.
Yeah. This is what toxic femininity
that
is.
But when we are saying that all of us here are feminists
because we support the choice of women.
Yeah,
and that is feminism. Feminism is not about you have to now you can go to work. It's about the choice that you have the choice if you want to do what you want to do. Like how men have the choice.
Yes.
Like, if you want to sit all
day, men don't really have the choice though.
Oh please, we do. We do, and I think we shouldn't dwell a lot on what feminism is not.
You guys
and
have,
just dwell on what it is.
If look,
everyone has choices.
Okay. I don't know.
Everyone. Okay. So the thing is, a few years back,
there'll be another time for. I don't want to go to deep. You'll be judged.
Okay. You'll be judged for sitting at home and taking care of your children, but you can do that. You have the choice. No one's like.
We don't really have the choice. Let me probe a little. How do you not have a choice? What makes you think you don't have a choice?
Because society doesn't give you that. Imagine you see a fellow grown man like you who is sitting at home. What thoughts would you have?
But in societies where we stay, there are still grown ass men who don't do anything.
Yeah.
And how do you see them as responsible men? Exactly, the conversation is not
when you say people don't have a choice, right? It means that they cannot afford not to do that thing.
Yeah.
Right? Regardless of what you do, people are going to have a perspective of who you are.
Yeah.
Right? So like men can actually I've stayed in societies where like a man goes I'm from like the Niger Delta in Nigeria, right? Like women drive bikes, women go to the farms, like, and you have like men who drink all day and do nothing, and they have a choice to do nothing, and you still have a choice, you still have men,
they have
who
the
would
choice
actually,
to stop
yeah.
drinking,
yeah, they have but a they choice, some not do not drink, too.
Everyone has choices, yeah, and this is what feminism is about because a few years back, women didn't have the choice to go and work,
true.
Even if they wanted to, like. If they're going, going for an interview, or if they're going to their parents, being like, "Oh, I want to work," they'll first be like, first think about your marriage.
They'd be down talked. They'd be talked down about it. They'd be tell different.
It wouldn't be a priority for them if they want to go. Yeah. They want to work. They want to create a life.
Family would have been like what they would have told you put as a priority, not.
Yeah, but
and
for men, if you're earning right, or suppose if your parents are rich, right, and they're willing to provide for you. You can sit all day, do nothing, don't go to work, right?
Mm-hmm.
If your parents are willing, you're going to get judged for it. People are going to make fun of
in
you,
essence.
But you can do that.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
You are not forced upon
even the choice
to go
of marriage.
Work.
Yeah.
Even
okay.
the choice of marriage too. Like
it's about force.
That's one thing I do not support. That's one thing I actually kick against in the feminism movement, because everyone should have a choice whether you decide to act on your choice or not.
That's real feminism. Feminism is not about women being greater than men, or even for that matter, women being equal to men. I don't think men and women are equal.
I think
because we have, like you said before, we have different traits. So
we need equal choices. We need equal options. But if you see it, we are not really equal. Men and women will never be equal.
We both have our strengths, we are both to combine them.
And I think the crux of feminism is giving men and women equal opportunities.
Yeah.
Right? Just allow, like, what a man is allowed to do, a woman should be allowed to do it. If she decides not to do it, that's fine. But, like, that's what I think. So I think a lot of people dwell a lot on what feminism isn't. And that's not, like, when you speak about, like, your religion or, like, your tribe, you're not talking about what it is not. You're speaking about what it is, right? Like, you're not going to discredit the fact that you're no longer, like, a Muslim because you're, like, Muslim fanatics, right? You're just going to be concerned about what you are, right? And I think that, I think all men should be feminists, by the way. And I think that some people do believe in feminism. It's just that they don't. They don't want to be tagged that, and I think that's pretty dumb.
That's what I'm saying, because the feminist tag has a negative connotation. So now, going forward on this, at least let's just use this to round up. So going forward, the thing should be just that the crux, as you called it, of the feminism movement should not focus. There should be more of a focus on the real deal, because there's not a lot of focus on the option like the story that people carry is not on feminism being about equal opportunities. It's about men are greater than men, blah blah blah. So that's what creates the argument, and that doesn't allow people to, like, really move on with feminism. If we push on more of women should be given opportunities, if that's what the feminism movement, like, really leads on,
okay,
I think a lot of people would follow on more. But because what it actually does lead on, what the fanatics usually, and they're the loudest, what they usually hold on to is that women are greater than men, blah blah blah, and so that's what causes the arguments that we have.
I agree with this, because for something to be normal, you don't have to be loud about it. You can casually introduce some things. You could, you know, very casually voice your thoughts.
Yeah, but in situations like this, when you have someone who is louder and who is saying my opinion is the real one, your opinion, though it might be right, could get clouded. It could get, like, over
misconstrued.
Yeah. Okay. And people will not even listen to what you have to say, but they will listen to the person who is shouting, because that's
the voice they can hear. Even the generation we're in, because if you know.
All right, so let's move on to the second part, Palak. It's you.
Over to you, Palak.
Yep.
So the second part is about the theme.
Okay.
So our theme for 2024 Women's Day, International Women's Day, is increasing inclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
Inspiring inclusivity.
Mm-hmm. And it's all about being more inclusive of women in different areas, whether it's business, whether it's any sort of field, business, medical field, any field, like being more inclusive, being more thoughtful about women's employment.
Yeah, so giving more opportunities. So do we have any... Saj, as a woman, what does inclusion look like to you? What's your own perception? What does it look like to you?
To me, it's getting women involved in everything, in decision making, in literally everything.
So as a nursing you're a nursing student, right?
Yes.
So as a nursing student, I think the nursing field is a female dominated field.
Yes.
So, but do you think there are still areas within the nursing field that more opportunities
as a nursing student, I feel like women nurses are less appreciated
really
in the job that they do,
Just because they just say to us that we're not going to listen to you, you're not a doctor. So I feel like what patients really want is a male doctor. They don't, even though we're a nurse, they don't see us as a nurse, and they want someone higher to be looking after them. And they say we don't know how to look after them, so we are less appreciated.
I've heard stories about there was this doctor, although she had more experience than she was a new doctor, and she was, she was a woman, but then even though she was more experienced than the other people, there were some other doctors as well who were just new. She had more experience than they did, than they had, but patients still wanted to have the male doctor see them, not her, who was actually the specialist. You get, so I think those are negative opinions or mindsets that people have that we really need to change.
That's true.
That it's a woman seeing you doesn't mean she's incapable. I think that's one misconception that people do. It should not be about the gender. It should be about their actual ability.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's like the stereotypes that has dominated that field for a very long time. Yeah. You see, like, a female doctor, and people still call her nurse.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many in the sense of medicine, like in the field of medicine, there's so many things you could do. You could be the person that injects the thing before surgery. Anesthetic nurse. You could be an actual nurse, and nurses are, shout out to you all nurses, because you guys are literally the backbone of the hospital or whatever. You guys, you do everything. I can't.
Not everything. Do what they do.
No, like,
we do majority of
Of the work. I've heard from not only from
just
her.
Sit back and just tell us what to do.
What to do? Yeah.
Yeah. I've so not only from her, but I've heard from other nursing students that like they actually. Nurses are actually overworked here.
Yeah.
Like, they're really overworked here.
Everywhere, but we are underpaid actually, still. Everywhere.
Yeah. They.
Nurses are overworked and underpaid everywhere, even in Nigeria.
Rishi.
Rishi, this is not really fair.
Do something, man. Filling your pockets with that old money.
And it's not really fair to the majority of the people in nursing are women.
Yes. Yeah.
Majority students, even in uni, I've seen so many people who are doing nursing, and most of them are women. And it's not fair to them.
So, in what sense? How is
like,
it fair?
Like getting paid less and working.
No. Male nurses and are male nurses paid more than female nurses?
No, they're not paid the same.
No, they're not. But I'm saying most of the people, majority of the students in nursing are women.
That's another stereotype that we have seen.
There is a lot of stereotypes in every subject. Like chem engineering, for example, is seen as a male kind of job. Yeah. But again, females are, you know, they don't expect females to go into that. But why not? Why can't females do that job? Why is it seen as a male's job?
On the other hand, I think it's just something that, another thing, there are two sides to it. It's not just that it's seen as a women are not, don't naturally gravitate, I would say, don't gravitate towards that as much.
It's because of the stereotype. It's because of the stereotype, like, for like, engineering has been seen to be like a male-dominated field, right? But, like, but it's the truth. Like, like the girl child, like, when you have a girl child, like, you're not pushing for her. Like, most parents are not pushing for her to be an engineer. But even right now, like,
you just graduate.
Even right now, like, you're going to say, like, if you go into, like, an engineering department, you're not going to see it dominated by women till date. Even in STEM. But that's why we need to push for women to, like, but that's why
it is. Of course, there's women. There's.
Yeah.
But if you see the majority, it's dominated by men in engineering. And it's for nursing, it's. Dominated by women.
Yeah.
Well, I also think it's something to do with preference too, the preference that people have. But we'll move on from that. I think Faith has wants to lead us on to the next.
Okay. I'm just going to be explaining what the theme actually means to me. So basically, inclusion basically means creating an environment which everyone is valued, respected, and included, to me. Because, I mean, who would want to be excluded from an event? Like, let's say if something is happening in uni And like, have you guys ever been excluded from anything? Like, maybe in, not, it might not be here, but like any other thing. Like, yeah, like everybody's just doing their own thing and you're the only one, like, as I said. Yeah, it doesn't feel too good. And I feel like that's how most women feel nowadays, because they're excluded from things that are deemed impossible them, for them to do, because probably people think it's too tasking and you know, they only belong in the kitchen and taking care of their children. But yeah, we may go through a lot, but anyways,
yeah,
moving on. To be continuing with how inclusion is relevant to students.
Okay,
so personally for me is relevant for me, because as you all know, I'm an international student. I flew 6 hours from Nigeria.
Six?
Yes, it's 6 hours now from Nigeria.
Is it your six?
I mean, some people took connecting flights. So.
Yeah, I just came from Lagos to here.
If it's a direct flight, it's six.
Yeah, I flew 6 hours from Lagos to UK. So, and it's not far. I mean, it's far, but like, it's not far from home, like that. But still, like, imagine coming to a whole different place and being excluded. It's heartbreaking. So.
Where did you get excluded?
Yeah.
No, nowhere actually. Bradford Uni.
Yeah, that's the good thing about.
Yeah, that's
Bradford.
The good thing about here. Yeah. Bradford also, Uni. Yeah, they I've have already... so many organizations that like
promotes
can include you in so many things, like
so
the counseling and advice service, the LGBTQ staff network, the Black staff network. There's so many things. So
it's not even about inclusivity. Yeah. It's about divorce.
Especially in the city of Bradford, the diversity in the city, it was like amazing when I came to Bradford.
I've seen a lot of people from
people from different nationalities.
I'm telling you that I didn't expect this. Like, I just expected so many, you know, people that don't look like me.
Yeah.
And I just came here and everybody's like, not, they don't look like me, but like they're from other places, so you're not feeling this kind
you're
of
not feeling
yeah
so
you're not feeling
out.
So left out, because everybody's from another place too. Mm-hmm.
So it's not just like you can like ask. There are multiple people from another nationality, then they're just just a small group of people. Bradford is a place where different nationalities, Pakistanis, Indians, Nigerians, Ghanaians, all of we just packed ourselves.
A lot of Nigerians. I didn't expect to see so many Nigerians. You guys don't even understand.
Honestly,
I didn't expect to see so many Nigerians.
City of diversity.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. And the University of Bradford has also done quite a lot.
Yeah.
And the university has done a brilliant job for women.
Yeah, as well.
For girls, for us to feel safe, for us to feel,
you know,
included,
part of everybody.
So you feel very included in school.
Yes, we
feel included in everything.
About the safe bit, though, it's just a bit quiet sometimes around university if you go around. So that could be a bit better when it comes to safety. But other than that, I think it's quite safe because the security.
I think it's quite safe.
The parts they've been are not too. safe, maybe.
It's night. Night is not generally not safe for everyone. Yeah. Men are probably a little safer at night because
we're not safer, we just feel
that's the point I'm actually bringing. It's not like
because,
I see we too. I'm on the, if they now do too.
They are safe.
We
feel safe. We feel safe, like, right? We don't necessarily. Like,
because
as
a man, you don't think anybody would just, especially if you are not like small, you don't think anybody will just come and try to challenge you. But as a woman,
you're vulnerable.
You
know, I was just going to talk about this in the morning. My friend was talking to me. Like, I was just telling her, I was in the gym with her and I was going home walking. And I was like, oh, I go home walking because it's just like a 10-minute walk.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, yeah, I don't do walks. I was like, why don't you walk? Mm-hmm. Then she went, like, because once, while she was walking, a van literally stopped to kidnap her.
Oh?
Yeah,
so
I was like, what?
Things actually happen.
That's what I wanted to say. It doesn't just happen to women. I saw a video yesterday
of
a guy that
that's not the
a van
point.
Also
but
wanted
if you
to,
see the majority,
to fly a wall.
But additionally, I think at the same time, like, when women speak about this experience,
we're more vulnerable.
I agree.
I think that we have to acknowledge
vulnerable.
It and not also sort of try and say how, like, men also go through that experience.
It's like saying not all men.
Yeah, exactly.
But somehow it's always men.
Because if I go to the police office in my country, if you go to the police office and if you go to the police station and you tell them that you were domestically abused, you're gonna look like a jerk because your husband can come to the police station and be like, ah, she's talking nonsense. None of that sort of thing happened. She probably hit her head somewhere. And they're gonna believe.
What? No, I actually do agree with that. Especially
Are you sure?
Maybe in Nigeria.
I'm talking about Nigeria.
So I think that this thing, like, it also happens also in the West. Like, to be honest, it does happen. And I think that
the blame is directed to the let's say if a woman gets sexually abused,
women are
not
necessarily believed at first instance.
Yeah.
Right?
Until there's actually evidence, they have to bring so much evidence.
Well, and even when they do, those evidence are still being looked at, taken with a pinch of salt.
100%.
Yeah. So
because if a woman gets sexually abused, let's say I'm walking now and I get sexually abused, the first question
is what was I wearing? Yeah.
Which shouldn't be the first question. I don't know if it happens here, but I've seen some cases where it happens in like the Western world where they'll be like, What was she wearing? But that shouldn't be the case.
I think it happens everywhere.
It happens even on online comments that you see.
Okay. Like when it happens, like just go to the comments.
What was her state? Was she drunk?
Was she making it pass?
Yeah.
Is that not what she wanted? Yeah. Some of those things are like things that women go through, and when they speak about these things as men, we have to acknowledge it and not try and find a way to insult
some men. Are just sorry for the word, some men are just ignorant. Some men are just ignorant. That's it.
True,
I think men are ignorant and entitled,
and that's why I feel like we need more women in the security space too, in being more in law, being more, in the
enforcement,
in government,
because people understand your struggle, they want to like fight for you,
and that's the benefit of inclusion.
Good point.
So basically there are loads of women that, like, you know, inspired inclusion and all that.
Do you have any particular one?
Malala Yousafzai. I read about her when I was year 9. She's from Pakistan, and she basically fought for the rights of, like, for girls to have education, because in that part, at that time, the Talibans were, you know, saying no education for girls because we only need them to get married to their husbands. That's all we need. We don't need education for them. Education, they're not going to do anything with it. So why go to school? So she fought for the rights of the girl child going to school in Pakistan. And I also think that women, and I'm sure the women in this room too, I think that in the way that we blaze our trails in various places,
we're also championing inclusion in several ways too. Because once you've been able to achieve something, it means that there are other women who are looking back at you, right? Even like I speak about also back to like African women in the past who necessarily didn't come out with the tag to say they're feminists, but a lot of them stood up and like said no to so many practices, and I don't think that history has been very fair to a lot of them because they've been largely ignored and their story's not being told. So, but I just want to give props to like every woman who's actually out there standing up to say, oh, I will be seen, I will be heard, and my opinion actually
matters. Because it does. Everyone's opinion matters.
Women then currently in Bradford University who is inspiring a lot of female students, like who are in higher position, women that are like in higher position in the University of Bradford, so like Anita Rani Professor Udi. They're both in a high position and they are very inspired by the students around university. So like Anita Rani is like Bradford born, and what's it called, she's Asian Punjabi, and I think she studied in Bradford University. I might be wrong, but just correct me, guys, if you know she has a background of
she grew up in Bradford.
Growing up here.
Yeah, so she's grown up in Bradford, but she's got a background of working in
media.
So you know, doing
hostings and probably radio, radios as well. She's been on radios, radio stations before as well. So that really does inspire us girls to reach to her level.
Yeah, to show that if I could do it.
Because now she's Chancellor of the university. So we really do get inspired that, you know, we can actually, if someone like this, someone who is from Bradford.
Yeah, especially close to home, where you actually are.
If they can achieve this, we definitely get some kind of faith that we can achieve this as well. And then there's Professor Udi as well, who also inspires a lot of students, especially the Nigerian...
Professor Udi Achibong, right?
Yes, yes. Especially the Nigerians in the university.
And the Africans.
The, yes, and the Africans. They, she inspires them a lot because, you know, you see her as someone big and you see her like, oh, I want to be like her. And I'm
she's
sure
someone
I
you can relate to.
Yeah, she's very vocal, right? And like she's also very involved in things. And I think that's sort of like spilled into like, I've just taken a very close look at like institutions like the elections and all of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Women are very, very represented.
Yeah.
I think like the outgoing president of the Nigerian Student Union was like a woman. The new one, the current one, is like a woman
I
too.
Think the president of the Baking Society, which I
a lot of societies are actually actually
so,
before I was a president, the president was a woman.
Yes.
Yeah, and so, in our committee we have
We have
societies that are run by presidents that are female because they have been inspired by someone else.
To take that
leap and take that courage to now run that society as well.
True. So
I personally have taken that courage from a previous student to be able to run societies as well. So
it just shows that even if you may think I'm just doing this for myself, but then deep far back
you're inspiring
a whole new generation. You're inspiring people who also see that this guy could do this or this woman could do this. I definitely
even
can
if everybody's not inspired, you're definitely touching
at least one person. And that's something we should always put in mind when we are doing something. That's also our motivation to also inspire
people
the next group
right
of people.
Us,
I think Professor Udi is a very good example for all the Nigerian and the African students in the University of Bradford who are international students and they come here feeling alone and excluded. That's not the case though, because she's, when they look at her, they get like a really big inspiration from her to say that she's got a history of being a mental health nurse and what's it called now, she's, what is she in the university again?
I think she's
director for diversity
CID.
And inclusion.
So someone who can become a nurse and then take a step to come into the university and play this big role, it's a very big inspiration.
For women, for blacks, for a lot of people. She cuts across quite a number of places. So next, so that we are actually we are spending quite a lot of time, so I just want you, Saj, to share tips on how you think we can, so we've discussed the issues women have faced, we've also discussed as students, so how do you think students can like become more included, can put themselves more in a lot of things in the uni, for instance?
We can do like events in the university that are women's only, where there's a space for them to come together and share their thoughts, feel safe to share their worries, what their fears are, and in that discussion we can have like empowerment and encouraging kind of talks to make them feel better, to make them remind themselves who they are, what they are, and where they can actually achieve if they believe. So again, I feel like these sessions can actually help.
Yeah, and even in your own circles, in our circles,
individually as students. Yeah, in your own friend circles as well. We do this a lot without realizing sometimes. We do this a lot with our friends when they tell us something that's... low self-esteem in them, that shows low self-esteem. We do this a lot, but we just don't realize at all.
Can I also say that I think it's sort of very important to for women to also teach men how we could unlearn certain things and how we can be more supportive to ensure that women are included, because I think that it's very important to bring men and make them your allies in this fight, right? Because it makes the work a lot easier, because if you're getting men who are ignorant, men who are like endorsing inclusion, you have like men who are learning that, oh, this thing I'm doing doesn't exactly align with inclusion with women, it makes the job a lot easier. So in as much as you have those conversations and stuff about like women, how you can be more supportive, I think it's also very important to be able to relay those things to like male students.
The truth is that we need men to make this work. The neck, the head can't stand without the neck, and women are, we are the neck, and the men are the head.
That's why they say that the men should be the biggest supporters of women.
Yeah, we should
be. True.
I mean, that's why we're here. We're supporting.
That's why we decided.
So if you're
okay,
a man or you're a boy and you have.
What do you mean a boy? You're a man.
You know, there are boys here now.
A man that's not like, to be more that's not developed into a man. He's a boy.
Oh. Yeah, anybody that has, that still has this mindset, I call the person a boy.
Ah, okay.
Because if you're a 20 year old man or you're a 30 year old man, you're meant to be past that in this age and time.
But as you mentioned, people are ignorant.
Because my dad, he has three girl children, so you obviously there are people that like they have daughters, but they don't care.
Yeah, sure.
They really don't care. But yeah, if my dad can do it, you can do it too.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey, dad is much older, so exactly. Younger, my dad is younger men
way much older.
To...
He's only 50.
Younger
year,
men
so...
should be more considerate of the feelings, and I feel like women feel very guilty for anything and everything.
True.
Like even if it's not their fault, they'll feel guilty because they'll feel like, oh,
sorry,
it's I'm the reason, or
I feel like.
Can I give an example?
Yes, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't want to put you on this spot. No.
I feel like your mother-in-law should be feminist too as well, because some mother-in-laws.
How does mother-in-law?
We're saying everybody can be a feminist.
Some women
like
are not feminist.
Meaning, plays a big role when it comes to guys, because. Women, as you said, are emotional beings. Like, they are so emotional. They feel their thoughts and everything to a deeper level. So because of that, I think from men, what we can expect is more reassurance, more communication.
Yeah.
Even if as a father, as a friend, as a partner, like, we need, like, more communication from the opposite party.
Yeah, we also need to learn those things, right? Like when I speak from my own perspective, there are several things that I
men
was not
don't
aware
know how
of.
To communicate. Yes. No, I'm not talking about some men. Hmm. There's some men that know how to communicate, but there's some men that just don't know how to communicate. And
I think it comes from a place of background to like when kids are male kids are being raised, a lot of times there's not a lot of emphasis on them communicating their emotions, right? So when they grow up, you're not going to, like, someone says, like, an old man is not going to learn how to write with his left hand, like, when he's old, right? So, like, we have to learn it now. Yeah. When we have kids, too, we have to teach them to be more expressive.
Some fathers don't tell their sons, don't express your emotions. But I feel like having everything, nobody can have emotions bottled up. Like, no one can do it. I'm telling you, like...
People can, but it's not healthy.
We are very good at it.
But that's the thing. You can cry if you want to. You can be angry if you want to. You can express your emotions how you want to. Society just thinks.
We are society.
So I think, to some extent, too, like, women also enable men
not to express
their emotions. So let's be honest about
that,
right?
Preference. But I
you like men that cry?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Okay. I don't like a baby in front of me.
What I'm saying
is that, like, I like it if you express yourself. You tell me, not because there's a man that, like, okay, you're angry at me.
I'd rather you come up and speak about it and express your emotions.
You
just be shush.
Exactly. Like,
and, and
yeah.
It also comes from a place where men sometimes are judged
For expressing how they feel.
Because
if you see some of these judgments come from men itself, like it's
It also comes from women.
Those women are the extremists.
They feel vulnerable.
They are the feminists.
No, they're not.
You've mentioned it yourself. I am not an extremist.
Well, you
know,
I actually feel vulnerable
when they finally express how they actually feel inside. They be belittled.
We need to let men know that when they express their emotions, we're not going to think of them.
My opinion,
any less
for me. I just think it should be that men should express their emotions more, but not as much as women do, because a woman would, to be honest, a woman is not going to see you as a man if you are behaving exactly like
it depends on the situation. Honestly, me, I don't know about anybody else, but I know that me, like all girls, all women are not the same, but I know that me, like if you're actually telling me something, like I would
pay attention. I'm crying.
It doesn't make you any less manly. Like it doesn't.
I think it shouldn't always make you any less manly. Straight down the other line. You can express your emotions too, right?
Without
necessarily crying. Not everything is about really crying. It's about like when men speak about certain things. You see on social media, like a man is talking about, oh, he's going through this, and the woman just comes and says, oh, I need to buy hair.
Yeah, imagine.
Right, so
it's not always a Nigerian thing.
It's a thing. It's spread across everywhere. Like sometimes, like when men speak, they're not heard.
Yeah.
So we need to understand that, like when men speak, they should be heard, right? And
yeah,
we also need
be.
To just support them as best as we can.
Yeah. Okay.
End of the matter is that.
Okay.
Change your mindsets, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. We need to change. We need to improve.
We need to be more considerate.
It's more
of women and men being
being
together,
being
considerate,
because some women also enable that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. It's been a very very wonderful discussion. it's been quite an interesting one, and so basically, Having heard all of this, I just want you to reflect, go through, just think about what we've said, how it resonates with you, how it relates with you, and try to imbibe some of this.
Mm-hmm.
We've said we need to be more inclusive. As a person, try to be more inclusive. As a guy, try to show your emotions more, but don't cry.
Oh, please.
as a woman as well, try to let the men in your life, as I said, try to make them aware of how they can also help, how they can be more inclusive when they are not doing, just speaking with them, letting them know how you feel and what you would like them to do instead. As I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, this is the Women's History Month, and the Women's Office has a lot of programs lined up for the month.
Mm-hmm.
So one step you can take in getting more involved,
men being included.
Men more included, women more included, is try to get involved in more of this event. So I'll just be mentioning some of the events. There'll be a networking event coming up this month. There'll be a society cultural event, which will be about performances from different people. There'll also be a trip to London.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a documentary. And there's also a quality treat event to celebrate Black Women's Hair. So different events like this are coming up. So
Black Women Hair.
Promoting
not the best,
as a person, demanding inclusion is also you participating in inclusion.
Yeah,
you get participating in events that promote it. So we want you as students, try to get more involved as well. Don't just say it, be it. You get be more involved in it.
Yep.
Live what you want to see, and hopefully, the world is changing. The world is more different from
really
it's a lot different from what
Gen
was
Z here.
What we had like 100 years ago, and I think there's still more to come from us. And this new generation, I don't like the wokeness, but. I think there's a lot. I don't know
that we're new, though, Shabo.
Are you a millennial?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, okay.
I'm a Gen
Z. No, I'm still
Gen
Z. I'm just on the edge. All right. Thank you all so much for coming, guys. It's been lovely chatting with you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. And keep in touch. We are Ram A, and we'll be bringing more podcasts on your way. And just keep listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.